Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 98 of the Van Hemlock Podcast. Hello, we're back with the topic show.
Yes,
and it's coming up to 100 shows. I know,
100.
The road goes ever on and on, as they say in Hobbit Land.
How many podcasts survived their 100th show?
I don't know, and I don't care really. Yeah. We were having fun, and we're still going. So yes, in preparations coming up to the 100th show, I thought we'd have a look back at show number one.
Oh, I tried booking the mariachi band for number 100.
Okay, you keep on that. We definitely
they won't fit in the studio.
Yes, so possibly one of the most self-referential shows we've ever done. So if you want to hear about other stuff that isn't us, this probably isn't the show for you. But yes, we're going to have a look at. I've sat down and I listened my way through show one, and it was quite painful actually.
I was quite surprised.
It was quite hard work.
It was better than I remembered.
It was better than I was expecting, certainly. But I think we've come on a certain degree since then. And I've done my usual little pages and notes here. I was taking notes of what I was saying about stuff that happened 2 years ago. It was all very, very meta. It was all quite confusing. But I'm going to run through those notes then. So basically, yes, we are reviewing our first ever show.
Yeah.
So settle in.
Hopefully we're adding a second meta level of humour on top of the first level humour.
Well, we'll see how we go. Okay, so VH1 I've written here. I've written old music. I've decided that I like our current theme music much better than the music we had to
You
begin
chose
with.
Both?
I chose both, yes. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just clicking randomly on, what was that, Magnatune?
Yeah.
I was harvesting most of that from, which is all rights-free available music for podcasting and such like.
I still want a new theme music.
You want another new theme music?
Oh, one for news.
For the news show, yes. I suppose we could do a different piece
of
music.
So it sounds a bit newsy.
I keep asking on the podcast. We've asked on the forum before
I
about
know.
This.
No one knows anything either.
I'll bear that in mind then. I've written tentative here. You can definitely hear the nerves in those first couple of shows. This sort of sudden blank silence as you're faced with a microphone and an hour of talking, and you suddenly realise that lots and lots of people might be listening to this.
You can also hear the fact that the microphones we used then weren't as good as the microphones
we use
now.
Yeah, we've come on a bit technically as well. I think we'll touch on that after we've gone through the show, the production side of things as well. I've written retakes, ? I remember fluffing up quite a lot back then.
Yeah, that was back when we actually edited.
We edited back then, didn't we? And we took all sorts of painstaking efforts to try and
get rid of all those ums and ahs.
Ums and ahs.
If we learned anything in the last 2 years, it's don't bother.
Don't bother. Well, yeah.
Just be professional about it. Don't go off on our sides and just record it like it's a live show.
It's a practice thing. Yeah, we definitely try and do it in one take these days. Any time we'll stop the show and start again as if there's like sudden car crash outside the window or unexpected noises.
Or the doorbell goes.
The doorbell, phone, whatever. But generally, yeah, I think you've got to if you're going to keep banging them out with any kind of regularity, because how long did it take to edit that first show?
Can you remember? 3 hours for the first show.
It was 3 or 4 hours, and it was literally cut, hundreds
of snippets. If you're editing, it takes at the minimum about the same amount of time as it took to record.
You've got to listen to it at least once,
But it, now I just blat it out, really. I don't really listen to it before it goes back. Well, I trust the equipment now.
Yeah, we had we had a lot of troubles with the USB mics.
Yeah, we were using USB mics and they would go all fizzly and horrible.
And the quality wasn't quite
as good.
That's
one thing I learned, get rid of the computer from the equation.
You've got a proper mixing desk that's doing the recording there now. It's just very impressive.
It's not that.
It's a little mini thing there.
Yeah, it's not that bit of expensive kit, really. It's not a proper real mixing desk, really, but yeah.
Right, well, we opened with some introductions explaining who we were and why you should care, and I'm not sure we did a fantastic job at the time, but
I was a bit confused as to who we were after listening to it again.
We did the obligatory did a games list, didn't we? And at the time, my main MMOs were, I've written Second Life, Tabula Rasa, Eve, and Puzzle Pirates.
You were quite a fan of Puzzle Pirates.
I liked Puzzle Pirates, but it did get very, very old very quickly, and I think some short time after that episode, they changed it all about so that you could only play some of the games on some days of the week, if you weren't a proper paid member and stuff, and I was only ever looking at it as a free thing. It's essentially multiplayer Tetris, driving a ship around and stuff. I recommend it. Have a look if you've not played it before, but I don't think it's a long-term thing, as time showed. I'm still playing Eve now. I think I went away and came back.
I was playing Eve, and I'm still playing Eve, I even logged in.
Tabula Rasa, well, we'll come back to that, because that featured quite heavily in that big that first show.
The irony.
And Second Life, well, I'm very much on dormancy with Second Life, but my little in-world shop's ticking along and makes the occasional sale now and then, which I can cash out for the occasional bit of pocket money here and there. Your game list at the time, you just said Eve.
Yeah.
But also you'd mentioned that you were just reactivating World of Warcraft.
That
for
went
another
well.
Look. Yeah, tell us, how did that pan out in the end?
I didn't last very long
later.
At all.
Really?
No, I still don't like WoW.
No? So what?
I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
What, weeks? Months?
Literally weeks.
Weeks. Oh, dear.
I just don't like it, and I don't understand why I don't like it, considering I like Lotro.
Well, you like Lotro, and yeah, I mean, this is a comment that's going to get a lot of flack, I'm sure, but they are functionally and in mechanics terms broadly very similar sorts
they're
of games.
They're more similar quirks, than they're dissimilar.
Yeah, there are. Obviously, the backstories are entirely different, the class lineup's different, there's different interpretations of hybrids and so on, but yeah, in terms, comparing it to something like, I don't know, Modern Warfare 2 or whatever, they are much of a muchness.
I think the only reason I actually like Lotro is Tolkien.
Yeah,
if it didn't have the license, I wouldn't be playing.
You weren't really that fussed at all about the Warcraft backstory then?
No,
really.
I've never been a great fan of the Warcraft backstory, because then I was one of those people who didn't like it because it was just ripping off Warhammer.
Yeah, there was an awful lot of that back in the early launch days of Warcraft.
Well, going back to Warcraft 3 and everything, Warhammer, it was just 100% Warhammer references.
And also, as a backstory, it existed purely to facilitate the game, whereas, I don't know, in Lotro you get a sense that there's something more than just you running around hitting monsters, because you got this whole story there as well. Okay. I've written a lot of music. We had a lot of dead air with music playing.
We had
that
far
first show.
Too much. Somebody, I'm not going to say who,
yes?
decided that he wanted lots of music because he wouldn't have enough to say.
I had no idea what a podcast was or how
You were constantly worried that you wouldn't be able to fill up an hour of content.
Yeah, that was quite ironic, as it turned out. We got two shows a week.
Your initial plan was to do six shows, and that was it.
Yeah, it was going to be a very short run. I think I was sort of getting all my inspiration for how a podcast ought to work from, like, Radio 4 miniseries or something, which a standard we probably never quite hit, but we went in our own direction instead, I think.
Stop talking past tense.
And still are, damn it.
Yeah.
So after the introductions, we launched off into a big old news bit.
First of all, we had bedding music all the way through,
that
was awful.
Yeah. Was that bad? I don't know.
I don't like bedding music.
Undecided. Well, it's harder work for you editing, I know, because you have to lay it all in under the...
No, it's actually very easy now. The process I've got would make it almost seamless.
I don't know. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. Do let us know. What's your
opinions?
We've
got it now because I just fade out the theme tune over time.
Yeah.
And then fade it up at the end again.
Yeah, but would you prefer to have a little bit of soothing music underneath us talking all the way through, or do you prefer to hear us talking on our own?
It's the difference between the sort of American documentary style and the British documentary style.
Yeah.
Because we never really used to have it.
But it is a lot of production work finding the music and choosing it, though, which I think would have slowed us down.
I could write an hour and a half long ambient bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're not writing music for the show, God. So we had a big news bit. Let's have a look at what the news stories for that show were. Then we went right off the bat with the gaming news, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Which was interesting.
Again, it was on that, we need something to talk about. Let's talk about the news. That's always going to have something to talk about.
I think it was always the sort of stuff we were just talking about in the pub prior to that anyway. So I've written, right, in quotes, Eve will last 50 years.
So far, that's not been disproved.
I'm kicking myself because back then we didn't bother doing show notes, so I have no idea where the links and references are for any of these stories we talked about, but I'm pretty sure they were real. We don't tend to make
they were all real stories.
Yeah. So
that would have been a comment by Over or somebody saying that he thought the game would last 50 years, could last 50 years.
I suppose by that he meant that there was a very stable kind of gameplay and architecture that
there
would
was nothing meaning that after 10 years or so the game would just disappear.
Yeah.
And two years on, the game's doing better than it was then.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think 50 years is probably a bit of a stupid number to think
assuming
of in those terms.
You never do a Eve 2.
Yeah.
Why couldn't it last 50 years?
I suppose it will always continue to evolve. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as it keeps people coming in and they keep improving the game over time,
I think
there's nothing stopping it.
Quite fortunate in that they have no predefined end game. I think that was the main reason we were agreeing with this kind of comment, is that there, you don't get to level 50 in Eve and then stop or roll an alt or move on. You throw yourself into the grand scene.
You get
scene.
To the point where you get to be the leader of a massive alliance, and then people, and I've seen this again and again, either quit or they just downsize and decide they just want to have fun for a while before working their way up again.
Yeah, so it's always bubbling over at the top of it all. And I think also it's not... I think 50 years of going away and coming back. I've seen a lot of people, this little Wednesday fleet we got going, it seems to be people, including Teppo now, thanks to this show apparently, who have basically played Eve quite a lot in the past and then went away, and then they'll come back again, reactivate and carry on. And yeah, I wonder how many more standard MMOs you can keep doing that in. I don't know. Interesting though. We got also... Profiling terrorists in WoW are written here in quotes.
Oh yeah,
that was a bizarre. I think that might have been one of our, that might have been our first stupid story of the week. That would have been
a stupid story of the week.
That was great. This was the FBI. I don't know where this came from. Someone somewhere saying something stupid and causing all sorts of rumours and all the rest of it.
But I believe we could really consider this to be a rectally produced press release.
Yeah, perhaps. But the idea that that terrorists were using MMOs to try and coordinate and communicate with each other and plan as a sort of undetectable alternative to what MSN.
We were a little bit dismissive of that at the time.
I think we were giggling a lot there, and still are.
You did call most gamers worse than terrorists.
I did, and I do apologise. Sorry, I'm a lot more restrained these days.
It was also our very first Jack Thompson mention.
Did we mention Jack Thompson on the first show?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Excellent.
It's amazing how many of these things just haven't gone away.
I know, it's all cycles. Nothing ever changes. It just goes round and round. So we haven't mentioned him in a while in recent shows.
No,
have we?
That's
what's he doing now?
You've been quiet.
Is he retired?
No, he came around again a couple of months ago, if you remember, but he's been very quiet at the moment.
Ah, I see. He's probably in his hollowed out volcano lair plotting.
Planning.
Yeah, it's waiting. I've written phone Halifax to pay for WoW sub.
That was a
verify.
Brilliant one.
Yeah, this was strange. This was the Halifax Bank in the UK had decided to require World of Warcraft. I think it was specifically World of Warcraft players.
And if you were subscribing to that, you had to phone up to verify.
You had to phone up to actually say, yes, I am.
Because the high level of credit card fraud.
They were getting so many credit card frauds. I think was it stolen credit cards? Then people
stolen credit
using
card numbers and stuff.
Using those credit cards to buy MMO subscriptions and then to farm gold and then to cash the money out. Also, it was basically some really quite elaborate and below the radar money laundering system. And I think there was a linked story that we went on to have a look, that a lot of MMO companies were starting to have troubles where they were being charged by credit card companies for reimbursements or for administration fees for dealing with
It was so rampant, and we haven't really heard if that's gone away.
No, there's really been no stories
about they've changed their systems to stop this happening.
But I was getting the impression, I think back then, that a lot of MMO companies were starting to feel a bit under siege financially because they just kept getting hit by these.
Well, that's what they were
charges.
Saying at the time.
Yeah, but I don't suppose we'll ever know if that's still a problem or if any MMO can point at that and say that was why we folded. I mean, that's not the sort of thing we'll ever hear about again, I think. But yeah, it was worrying. I was quite concerned with it back at the time, and I think if it's still going on, I'd be concerned with it still. But I don't know either way.
Mm.
What else we got? I've got Lego Universe PR story. I listened back to that particular snippet, and I think even there, I was asking, and what's the story?
It was Lego. No,
it was just a press release.
It was a press release about the Lego MMO, which I wanted to mention.
I can't remember if it had been announced then or if that
was
around
that
sort of time.
It was very soon after it had been announced.
Yeah, so everyone was quite excited about the initial. There's going to be a Lego MMO.
So, where's that game now?
Where is it now?
Is it out yet now?
Is it out now? No, not quite. Look at you, looking all smug there.
I may have been playing it just before we recorded the show, until they turned the server off again.
Yeah, I think...
It's in closed beta.
It's in closed beta now, and you've actually had some hands-on. Yeah. We're probably NDA breaking and not going to talk about it extensively.
Don't care about it.
Well, I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression based on a beta either. That's the thing.
And I really haven't played it enough.
Well, suffice to say, from what I saw over his shoulder, it is real, and it will be here soon.
Yeah,
so.
And I haven't seen anything
about it. 2 years. 2 years from initial announcement through to almost ready to go. Yeah,
the open beta will be sometime, and then it'll release, I guess.
Yeah, we'll probably see it sometime this year,
I would imagine. So
yeah, and it does look interesting.
It does. And
so
it's
yeah, so it's like we've grown up with it.
I know.
Special place in my
should
heart
we adopt it as our
a mascot MMO for the show. Fair enough. Also, you'd shown me an APB video. I think that might have been the first
that
video
was,
of gameplay.
Yeah, it was back when APB
All Points Bulletin
was just announced as well.
You were trying to explain what APB was to me because I'd never heard of it prior to that show. So, well, the chap The chap that... see if I can remember. It's the chap that made Crackdown, who's...
And?
Is there an and?
Big game franchise made in Scotland.
It was Crackdown, doesn't
no,
it?
No, the bigger game franchise.
Bigger. No, gone. Sorry.
Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, right.
And Lemmings.
Oh, right. And Lemmings. Oh, what old... Yeah.
He's one of those people who's been incredibly influential.
Right. Having a foray into the MMO world. So where's All Points Bulletin now?
In beta, I believe.
It's in beta as
well? Yeah.
So it does seem like 2 years is about the right sort of...
From
announcement through to beta as a sort of benchmark. I think I've seen that span on a number of other sorts of projects of a similar sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are we still interested in APB? I've gone off the boil a bit with it.
I have as well. I don't care anymore.
That's harsh.
It was our first mention of Crackdown. We mentioned how much
we
liked it.
We were going to have an APB guild made up of Dixon of Doc Green, 1970s, 1950s.
That was Zozo's fault, and that idea came up in the pub.
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
The themed police guild.
This is also the time when we first mentioned Burnout Paradise.
And how much
I liked it.
Yeah.
Because I was saying how well the online worked in that.
I didn't let you talk about stuff much on the first show. No. You didn't get to do your What I'm Playing on the Console
to talk.
thing. You were too busy turning valves and diodes and things.
We also mentioned MMOs on consoles for the first time. And we mentioned the fact that the console version of Conan had been delayed by a year.
Right, a year, only a year.
Only a year,
fair enough.
It was out last year, apparently.
Yeah, well, the previous news show earlier this week, we've heard that Cryptic are not going to bother with Champions Online for the consoles.
Yeah. And same with Star Trek.
So, yeah, still no one's cracked that. And we were, anticipating somebody getting something done for cross-platform MMO back then.
Yeah.
Still nothing 2 years on. Yeah, then we did our first What We're Playing bit, which was pretty much what Tim's playing, frankly.
It was more than What We're Playing, it was more like a review of Tabula Rasa.
Well, yeah, because we only had the one show and we were sort of fitting it all in one go. And yeah, it was more of a review. So yeah, I talked a lot about Tabula Rasa in that show.
So we're going to now review of Tabula Rasa.
A game which is no longer here
anymore.
I won't
spoil how it ends.
Spoiler alert. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so... I remember being extremely sceptical and dismissive of the Richard Garriott angle. It seemed to be the big marketing thing at the time.
Yeah.
It was Richard Garriott's Tabula Rasa, and I was giving it all that about that. Not impressed with the rock and roll dev rock star type of thing.
No.
Who since then has gone into space and bought a moon rover and is now moving into social gaming, whatever that is.
It's a poker game, isn't it?
Social platforms, sort of building a platform that goes on Facebook or so. I don't know, moving with the times to the cutting edge and casting us loyal followers off. I'm sure.
He's got no loyal followers left.
Probably not, no. I've written interesting but not revolutionary, I think, was my take.
I just realised something.
Yeah?
The limited edition guys are crying at the moment because we're talking about Tabula Rasa constantly.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Everyone else listens to limited edition.
It's YellowSpandex.com. Yeah. We got interesting but not revolutionary, which I think was sort of me banging on about that most of the way through. It did have interesting little features, but it wasn't this...
It had some brilliant features which should have been replicated. The cloning.
Yeah, the cloning was... Well, I don't know. I wonder about the cloning now. You've got no incentive to start a character from level one ever again after you leveled your first one because you cloned them at brackets in your advancement.
Yeah, I guess so.
I reckon that was probably one of the... I did a series of blog posts after this show back when I was still writing stuff.
Blog more. Everyone write in and tell Tim to blog more.
Yeah, it's funny. The time. I've got so many games on the go. But anyway, I did a little series of things, reasons I thought Tabula Rasa was dying. This was after it was announced it had been closed. And I think the cloning was one of the ones I highlighted because, it sort of cuts down on replayability. You only have to play from... Once you get one character to 50, you only have to play from 30 to 50 again for three other classes and from about, 15 to 50 for the other four. So it killed the alting. There was no reason to alt from word go again in there, which was a bit of a problem, I think, for its longevity. There's no, it just means people got to the top and didn't really need to redo it. Which is often a way of extending the lifetime of most MMOs, is that you'll say, okay, I got to the top, like we've done in Lotro. I picked up me burglar and I'm having a little play with that at the moment. But I think they may have done themselves a disservice with the cloning. I mean, it was interesting, and I think it made life easier for players, but...
Was it too easy?
Was it too easy? Absolutely.
Do we need a little bit of that grind to give us something to do?
Yeah, I think perhaps we do. We complain about the grind, but look what happens to an MMO where you can go from 0 to 50 in one sitting, you know. It doesn't last very long, I imagine.
You compared the game quite strongly to Auto Assault.
Yeah, I've got that on my notes here as well. It did feel very Auto Assault. The map was smaller, you're not in a car.
Some of the music was the same.
Some of the music was the same. Yeah, exactly the same. Because I do collect MMO game music wherever I can get hold of it. And there were tracks that were identically reused in there. So I don't know. Auto Assault was Net Devil, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Tabula Rasa was not Net Devil. So I'm wondering, was there some crossover there? Or was
it? It's
all NCSoft, though, wasn't it? Perhaps there was some some purchasing of resources between departments or whatever. I mean, there was a certain degree of rushedness about the end of Tabula Rasa's development, so I imagine they probably had to haul in some assets from wherever else they could get them in the company if they needed him. Yeah, I've written Mercs Not Army. I wasn't very impressed with the military backstory.
Yeah.
It just seemed to fall apart and turn into a solo hero grind.
How many militaries make you pay for your own ammo?
Exactly. I mean, the ammo. I mean, yeah, all right, bring your own gun and stuff. I mean, I suppose there's parallels back in the sort of 16th, 17th, 18th centuries when the local lord would raise a regiment and he'd provide all the gear and then he'd put that regiment under the service of the country or whatever. But this is supposed to be the sci-fi future, so yeah, it just didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And what else did we got there? I got long term. I sort of talked quite a bit about his long term, which all turned out to be rather ironic. Very Auto Assault written there. I've written too quick, too easy. It was very fast paced. I mean,
it's too quick, too easy, the new Vin Diesel film.
Yes, very much so. But yeah, it just the pacing of it. I got to 50. I reactivated. I got to about 40 odd and then reactivated on the announcement of its closure because I thought, oh, this would be my last chance. And I managed to get about 3-4 levels off the top just before they put in those stupid 2000% here. You might as well finish the game in the days you've got left boosters. So I saw most of it and did most of it properly, but it still felt very fast. I mean, compared to pretty much any other MMO I've played except Auto Assault, which again was another of the comparisons. Yeah, so I think that was probably bad for it. I mean, I talked a bit about a patch that made all the monsters more difficult, I think, to slow everyone down. I don't think that helped. It helped a bit. It would have been much worse beforehand. But
all that did was just make the number of hit points change so that it took longer to kill stuff.
I think, ironically, that didn't help in that although it made the game last longer, it actually felt like you were nerfing and taking stuff away from players who'd gotten used to its initial very fast pace. I think in retrospect, you want to go with Eve, with CCP's big old philosophy there. They put everything in very, very pre-nerfed, they call it. Pretty much all the new game features they put in, they'll make them as they'll imagine the worst-case scenario and design for that, and then they can always make it a little bit easier and buff stuff later on. Everyone loves being buffed.
Yeah.
Not many people like being nerfed. So if you start off with the brand-new concept and feature in its most difficult and nerfed form...
Let all the people exploit it as much as they can.
Yeah, let people try it out. And then you can see how much easier you need to make it, and you don't make lots of people very angry, I think.
Well, you still do. They're well, gamers.
This game's too easy.
If gamers like anything, it's moaning.
Well, it's things were different in my day crowd, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're always funny to listen to. I'm one of them myself sometimes. I've written no end game. I clearly wasn't impressed. Well, I think I was doing that from anecdote, but to be honest, but it sounded like there wasn't a lot to do when you got to 50. Which, you know, I was seeing echoed all over the place on the chat channels and so on. A bit of clan-based PvP, I don't know. I've written PAUs there. Oh, this was great. I was being all excited about the coming soon PAUs, the personal army unit mech suits, that were coming soon 2 years ago. And do you know when they showed up? In the last week, when they were going to close it anyway. And I think they just sort of made... They made what they had so far available for people to have a play with, just to see what they're going to miss, which was a real, I don't know, kick in the guts a bit there. They were massively overpowered, and they only existed even in that sort of, we'll have a look at what we got. They only existed in special battle arenas as a sort of PvP option at the time. I mean, they would have totally broken the real game based on what I saw. They were massively powerful. Yeah, it was great. I've written bad crafting. That wasn't very good. They changed that toward the latter period, just before it got canned finally. I mean, the existing crafting was a nightmare of inventory management and rare drop bits from the right people, and then you had to destroy perfectly good equipment to make new bits and pieces for other equipment. It was a mess, it really was. They changed it to just melt down everything into a crafting currency, and then you can enhance existing items. I think it even let you... It was actually quite revolutionary, the system they put in the end, which was... You know how most so-called magic items have a number of attributes at the bottom,
yeah,
in green text or whatever? You could actually pull those off the item and put other ones on. Ooh. So you could customise the attributes of your magic item.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'd love to see that adopted elsewhere, but, and you know, in any other game. Retro, WoW, whatever.
Catch on.
Yeah, too little too late, I think, was the general the general thing I had there. I've written dubious long-term again.
Well... Yeah.
Do you want me to do the quote then?
You do the quote.
It's just brilliant. I was just listening to myself, strangely enough. And at one point, I think toward the end of my little mini review there, I said, I'll be interested to see how it's doing this time next year.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to point out this show is dated the 3rd of March, 2008.
That was when the show was...
We would have recorded it the day before, that maybe.
A week before. It took you ages to edit the first one.
Oh, I did, yes. Now,
yeah,
what we need to take into account,
yes,
is, in 2009, the game closed.
Uh-huh.
When did it close? 27th of February, 2009. So, it was nearly to the day after you said that the game closed.
Yeah, and I've been hurt before like this. I've accidentally destroyed things in MMO, in The Curse of Van Hemlock. And
Auto Assault.
This is another string to my nefarious bow.
Definitely. I was thinking it was a coincidence that I found out it was exactly a year after you said that.
Yeah, Auto Assault shut down about 2 weeks after my Operation Cheap Seats free trial, where I did a big old series of posts going, where is everybody? Yes, so I do apologise. I'm going to get so much flack on Monday.
You are.
Yes, Shuttler and Teppo and Ed there are going to be after me. Now we have a causal link.
Considering in Lotro we get crying whenever we mention Tabula Rasa anyway.
And I do feel sorry for those chaps, because they really did go in for that game and really did it well. Of course. That's how Shuttler and Teppo got started in podcasting, was TabulaCast.
Yeah, TabulaCast, which had fantastic support by the developers.
Yeah, their shows would regularly appear on the messages of the day when you log in.
Yeah.
On the lobby.
They had weapons named after them.
They
did birthday things for them.
I mean, I sort of, you know, this is nothing to do with episode one now, this is just looking back on it all, but I get the impression that there's community team behind that game, and the GM staff, and the dev team that was left, that was trying to make the best of a bad job at the time, were fantastically involved with the players, with the community. a real model for how other games should do that.
I think it's a shining example of it being done well.
And I think they got shafted by management decisions. I think Garriott probably left them all out to dry. I don't know. Proof, I'm speculating.
Garriott was left out to dry as well.
Well, perhaps, yeah. I mean, it's difficult to attribute blame. Perhaps Garriott wanted something far better than was allowed to happen. Perhaps it was management chicanery. I don't think we'll ever really know. Well, I won't anyway.
There's a couple of other things we mentioned during it.
Yeah.
We mentioned the agency during this.
Ah, so we were anticipating the agency back then. That's 2 years. Yeah.
So where's that now?
Well, who knows?
We got some information about it coming in the next couple of weeks, apparently.
Right. So it's 2 years, isn't it?
Well,
so,
that may still be a year away. We haven't heard anything for 2 years.
Yeah, it's gone a bit quiet. I think perhaps they're wondering if they're having trouble with the console hurdle, the cross-platform thing.
They shouldn't do that. They're Sony.
Well, yeah, you'd expect it to have fantastic support from the PS3 team, but who knows?
Yeah, and you also came up with the fantastic idea of having Bruce Forsyth at Tabula Rasa.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
No doing the impression this
time.
I'm not
doing the impression again, no.
Because the impression was bad enough last
time. I think that was quite ambitious for the first show. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got written for the Tabula Rasa bit there. I also then went on to rave about Audio Surf, which I played for about 2 weeks after that and didn't touch again.
But you now own a copy of Guitar Hero.
I've actually got... Yeah, well, I think I was likening it to a sort of poor man's PC-based Guitar Hero. But I was shown Frets on Fire. If you look for that on Google, that's a PC-based Guitar Hero-alike game, which you can play by holding your keyboard upside down and using the F keys as the buttons.
Wonderful.
Not quite the same thing, but, you know, is there proper supported Guitar Hero for PC? You got to make do with what you got, then.
Don't know. Might be. Maybe not.
But I've even since then, I cracked and got. Oh, I didn't even have a 360 back then. I think I had a Xbox One that you'd cast off that I was using at the time. But yeah, I've got a proper guitar game now, and I played that for about 2 weeks and got bored of that too. So there we go. Yeah, 53 minutes that show was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we got news and what we were playing
and
in there.
We've only talked about it for 28.
I thought this would last longer. But what have you got then? You got lots of notes there.
Well, yeah, we've covered most of my notes. Yeah. We really needed pop filters in that first show.
Oh my god! Yes.
And the levels sucked.
Hang on, let me take the pop filter on.
You still do
now.
It even through the pop filter.
So here's me without the pop filter. I don't know how that's sounding to you at home now.
Ow!
He's got headphones on. He can hear it perfectly. I think I might put that back on now before I blow everyone's ears out. So there we go. I have a certain, particular vocal tick.
The pop filter.
The pop filter's back on.
Well, everyone does it. If I took mine off and start doing it, I'll find that I don't have a pop filter either.
Yeah. So there we go. Some useful technical tips for anyone who's thinking
everyone,
of podcasting.
You want a pop filter. We can still do it.
Sometimes I'm powerful enough to blast through this. Yes.
Yeah. I need to get better ones, really, but I can't find a good supply of them.
Fair enough.
We talk to the audience a lot more. Instead, we weren't really bantering like this. We were talking to the dear listener.
We were
presenting to them.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like a much more of a sort of performance task rather than us just nattering.
I'm not 100% sure we knew what we were doing.
We didn't. I mean, I'd listened to, I think perhaps most of my inspiration was the Virgin Worlds podcast, but that was basically Brent talking to the listener. But that was a one-man show. And he had guests on it now and then as well, interview spots here and there. But essentially, yes, here is the news, here's what I think. Where you got two people, especially two people in the same room, doing trying to trample over each other and interrupt and such like. It becomes a conversation, I suppose.
Definitely.
Which hopefully the listener's included into, dear listener.
Yeah. Now, of course, about then, it was way before we were actually a member of the Virgin Worlds Collective.
Oh, gosh, we just thought it up and did it, was it?
Yeah, we did.
Blimey.
Yeah. We had something like 18 listeners on the first time.
Excellent. You know who you are if you're still listening, and I thank you enormously.
Thank you very much. Do you want me to cover how we did it technically back then?
Let's have a talk about the technical side of it, because you've done this big old post, How We Podcast.
Yeah, I need to update that.
Yeah, on the Van Hemlock.com website there.
But back then, we had two USB microphones going into a Mac. Now,
Mac was the thing at all. Why didn't you use the PC? Was the Mac preferable?
The PC. No, it's because I was using GarageBand, comes with the Mac, and is a lot better than anything.
Well, I think the PC entry point for podcasting is Audacity, really,
which
isn't it?
It is pretty rubbish.
It's quite ropey.
It's unreliable, pretty rubbish, and if you've got a Mac, it's just so much easier.
I've tried to use it a few times myself. When I was chatting to Harry Hall about upcoming Merkwood stuff, I was doing that at home on my own PC with Audacity, and I had to find a beta version because the first one I used crashed every time you pressed stop or something.
Yeah.
Bit of a mess. But good enough.
If you've got a Mac, you've got very, very good software to do it. Mm. I noticed we had audio ducking on it and everything.
Audio ducking? Yeah. Is that when the backing music would go down when we start talking? And that was automatic?
It's automatic now as well.
Oh, right.
It's just I had to do it slightly differently.
I thought that was all a bit technical for our first go.
Well, no, it just does it out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had two USB microphones, which worked really well, apart from the fact that every so often they would just descend into a hiss of static, and we'd have to keep listening back to stuff.
Yeah, and also lock up and lose this whole chunks of...
It was
awful. That was really frustrating.
Yeah, so the thing that I really took away from that is I hate USB mics.
So what we got now, then?
Now we've got a couple of technical proper XLR mics, condenser mics. These ones you can't buy anymore, but yes, it doesn't matter.
Similar sorts out there.
A couple of mic stands.
Mm.
Pop filters.
Yep.
I've got a camera on my mic stand, but it isn't plugged in.
We'll have to do some accompanying video one week.
And that, we've actually used several bits of hardware over the years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Rummage. The taser.
Yes, there's the taser.
Yes. Anyone who's come along to any of our away days will recognise this little gadget.
I started off with the Zoom H4 and then moved up to the Zoom H4N, which is basically a small handheld recorder with inbuilt mic, but it's also got two mic sockets on it.
And it'll give
phantom power to them if you need to run a condenser mic.
Uh-huh.
And we used them for a while.
That was really good, actually, because we had all sorts of trouble with the Mac locking up and losing whole chunks of audio. And just removing any kind of computer from the equation altogether was a great step forward.
Yeah, recently I upgraded to a Zoom R16, which is a 8-channel mixing desk type thing with an inbuilt recorder. So I can say something.
Hello there, my name's Tim,
and I can completely fade him out.
Hello, hey, bring me back. Brilliant.
Yeah, so I've got different things I can fade in out.
Looks like about the size of an A4 textbook, slightly longer.
I can't turn that channel on.
So it's not a very portable device, but it's good for a desktop recording setup.
It is portable. It runs on batteries. It's got mics built in. It's got.
It's not handheld, is what I mean.
No. I actually run my guitar through it as well because it's a guitar.
It's about the size of an Xbox and the size of a PS3, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's a lot thinner.
Mm.
It's only an inch or two, about 2 inches thick. That does all my recording. I record both shows on it, then it mounts as a disc so I can just copy it over.
Excellent.
And then now I move on to using Logic to. Edit it on the Mac. I've set myself up a really nice little template, which basically has the space for the two tracks we record, one for each of us.
Yep. Microphone each, very important.
The music's pre-on there on another track. I just drop them on, cut the start bit where Tim tries to get the name of the show right, which episode it is,
Still what the date is.
Then I make another cut for where the music is. I move the bits around, and then I move the end music to the end of the show, and that's it. Then I just hit bounce, bump, make it MP3.
I think we're done. Yeah, I mean, I don't really get involved in the actual editing production side of it at all, but it just seems to me that it's very important to have it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, I mean, have it as much automated as possible. Particularly if you're doing regular weekly shows or multiple shows a week, you really need to cut down on how long it takes to work the thing into a usable MP3. Yeah.
All I need to do is a bit of moving around. Then I need to put it into iTunes to be able to change the graphics on it.
Mm.
So the album art comes up.
Oh, yeah.
Then I drag it out to my desktop, rename the file, and then just upload it using an FTP app.
Mm-hmm. And you're on Libsyn for the...
Yeah, and just go to Libsyn.
Yeah.
Which works most of the time.
Right, yeah.
And it's actually incredibly easy. If you don't have to edit stuff, I can't really stress this enough. If you can avoid editing, then... You're more likely to do a show.
I don't suppose self-discipline is really the right term, but you need to be able to do it in one go and not worry. It's not don't make mistakes. It's not care about the mistakes. It's just to keep going through it.
If we say something that's complete rubbish, we'll correct each other and move on.
Whatever.
That's a problem if you're one person, and also if you're not in the same room, you've got a certain disadvantage because Skype or whatever makes the bantering and chatting a lot harder.
I mean, we've had guests on the show a couple of times via Skype, and it's been a bit tricky.
It depends on the person and how well you know them.
Mm.
We had Matt from Limited Edition on, and that worked really well because we chat to him every week.
If people you already chat to a lot on TeamSpeak or any sort of voice chat in gaming, you'll generally have the same kind of experience recording a podcast. You're just going to record it instead.
And most of the rest of what we do, I think, is just basic broadcast skill. If somebody freezes and doesn't know what to say, the other one jumps in and talks.
Yeah.
Or you can even make a reference to dead air. Dead air doesn't matter as long as you're making jokes about it.
Keep the flow going overall, because that's going to be so much easier than having to listen back and chop out minutes of silence and chop out swear words and chop out bits where somebody went off on one.
Are easy. If you don't want swearing in your show, don't swear.
Yeah.
At no point ever swearing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so much easier if you can do it in one go as live.
Yeah.
And even if it sounds rough and a bit improvised and a bit people all the time, and that's fine.
It's not a big thing. Really, don't bother taking out the ums.
But the production of it, I suppose, becomes a lot easier as a result. Otherwise, you are going to spend two or three days putting the show together after you've finished.
It's like, okay, we record on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We've recorded the new show already.
Don't tell them the big secret.
Then we have a quick break. I played Pokemon for a while. You went out to smoke. And then we were recording this show. And then afterwards, we're planning on going to the pub.
Uh-huh.
But I might well just edit and put out the new show just after this. It's only going to take me a couple of minutes and it'll be uploading for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, it's different skills, I suppose, for one-off things, or if you're actually trying to do a radio play or a performance of sorts.
If you're on your own, it's a lot harder. If you're a one person talking to the mic, doing what, say, Brent does,
I don't
that's
think I could
an do, awful lot harder.
Honestly, don't think I could do a one-man show monologuing, to be honest. Which means, damn it, I'm stuck with you. Plus, I don't know how to work any of these gizmos on the desk here.
And I don't play MMOs, so...
it sort of works.
I'm picking myself with a paintbrush now. Yeah, also, the other thing is, we have a massive advantage over nearly everyone else. Sorry for saying that.
Hey,
we're not a one-game show.
I think that can be a problem. I think it depends. If you're absolutely fascinated about a particular title, then yes, you can talk lots about it.
Yeah,
there's
nothing wrong with those shows, and they're really good and useful, and they get higher numbers than the shows which are for everything, because you've got a dedicated a listener base. But it's so much easier for us, because if we want to rant on about Tabula Rasa for half an hour.
That was something we decided on right from the word go, wasn't it? Not to obsess particularly on this is always going to be a show about such and such.
Yeah.
We'd just talk MMOs. I mean, I've relaxed my stance considerably on consoles lately, and I've become a console gamer in the intervening 2 years. But yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the limiting stuff and saying this is about this, or this type of gaming is different than this type of gaming.
I think there's a need for that. I think people who want to know about that game
will
need somewhere to go. I wouldn't recommend anyone come to listen to this show if they're particularly dedicated to EVE Online and nothing else. There are better podcasts out there.
The Drone Base
starting again soon. Yeah,
there was started.
It's back, right?
It's back, yeah.
Excellent, I should track
and
that down.
And now, for various reasons, every time I listen to it, I get guilted into not logging into my corp. Thank you.
But there are better places to go for specific games, but I don't know, I just like chatting for an hour about the gaming experiences I've had, and hopefully some people are listening to me.
If you're starting podcasting, just be aware of how much harder it is to do a show about a single game.
We are very much tied to the fortunes of that game.
Yeah, you're tied to the fortunes. Look at how many, and your interest in that game, look at how many Warhammer one started.
A lot of people will start a podcast about a particular title, I suppose, because they see a gap in the market. Here's something no one else is doing. This will get me people to listen to me, I suppose. But then, are you going to be playing that game forever and ever, etc.? Or what happens when you get bored of that one game that your podcast is about? And it does happen. I get bored of games all the time. That's why the what we're playing bit changes around every couple of months.
We talk about the same games again and again, but you know, EVE disappears for 6 months.
That's it, yeah. I was talking about City of Heroes most of last year because I was playing that extensively. So DDO's a new addition recently, so yeah, it pays to be a bit flexible, I suppose, if you're going
to
go
also to be
extreme
fair,
distance with it.
Neither of us could really imagine just playing one game.
Well, I think that's about gaming philosophy, isn't
it?
You played enough of them, you start to see similarities. And you
I can understand why people would, especially EVE.
Mm.
Because EVE being the best game ever made. But yeah, I just can't do it. I find myself wanting to hit an orc or something.
So
anything else we need to mention about podcasting?
I don't know, really. You've got your big old list of notes there.
Yeah, well, maybe if people want to start podcasting, what I would say is don't overthink it.
I think that's the thing, yeah, particularly at the start where you believe everything, certainly in my own case,
you believe
everything has to be perfect.
We spent months trying to...
Umming and ahhing about it, trying to put a format together, and in the end, just fire
it up
microphones.
It turns out our format was what we do in the pub.
That's it.
Who would have known? Well, in fact, I've considered recording us in the pub.
It's talk about what you know, I think, also helps a lot. It's something you're passionate about, you're not going to worry about, oh God, we've got, how long have we got to go from the other? You're not going to worry about, oh God, we've got to fill 30 minutes on this particular segment.
Yeah, we won't worry about the next 18 minutes.
Is it 17 now? Excellent, good. But if you're passionate about your subject, you'll find the time flies by and you will relax. Particularly something I was listening back to the first show, the intro sections, I was really bricking it basically.
Yeah.
I was totally terrified for most of the bit, but since I started going on and on about Tabula Rasa's internal mechanics, something not specifically Tabula Rasa but generally gameplay mechanics that I'm quite passionate about, particularly in MMOs, and you can hear the difference. Well, I thought I could anyway, and you next thing you know, oh, there's the whole show done.
Yeah,
so yeah,
also don't worry about being wrong.
It doesn't matter.
Just accept it. You will be wrong.
It's just a podcast. Although, you know, corrections the following week, not a bad idea.
Yeah, but if you've noticed some real power. You're going to make mistakes. Just accept that and don't worry about it. Oh, did I say something stupid that episode? Yeah, you probably did.
I think my main thing I've taken away for all is that you do it for yourself. You do it because you enjoy doing what you're doing. You do it because you enjoy podcasting. Don't worry about the listeners. Don't worry about the numbers.
There's nothing on a Sunday afternoon.
I've got nowhere to be. Yeah, just do it because you enjoy it, because you love the subject material, because you like the sound of your own voice. There's nothing wrong with that. I often listen back to my own shows, which is terribly egotistical. But
I can't stand the sound of my own voice, and I hear you more than enough normally.
Well, perhaps I better shut up.
The biggest problem I have listening back to our show is I really disagree with everything I say.
These two idiots have no idea what they're talking about.
I don't understand it.
Well, it just goes to show that our opinions change, even though we don't notice it happening.
It can change before I've edited the damn thing.
Well, I think we've rambled enough in a self-indulgent fashion. Yeah. Shall we get on with the Twitter question?
No, before that.
All right, go on then.
I was looking back at what games were released.
Back
when we did our first context. Show. As I bash the mic again, showing how professional I am.
Absolutely.
Now, it was March the 3rd, 2008.
Right.
Our first show was released.
Okie dokie.
And there's a game.
To the time machine.
And the games released were, there's Super Dodgeball Brawlers, don't know about that. Major League Baseball 2K8, don't care about that. British Scholarship Edition.
Oh, that was your Rockstar controversial game where you got to
kick
kids around in a
school. That got a Wii and Xbox 360 release.
Ah. The Scholarship Edition was a bit toned down, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was just names.
Right.
Now, that was released on the day we released our first show.
Right. I don't know what that says about us or the show. But
no, but the thing is, I actually own it.
Really?
I've got no achievements on it. I've done nothing on it.
You've never played it. You were too busy that month, clearly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what I'm going to do...
Yes?
...to celebrate that, before show 100,
yep.
I'm going to complete the damn thing.
Okay. Okay. Set yourself a goal there. That's what we like. So, we've got March the 4th, which is the day after, was Army of Two, which you'll have heard of there.
Yeah, bad game. The sequel did quite well. God of War, Chains of Olympus. I've got that. I never really got far into it, but I'm going to be playing it as part of my
God of War,
thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's some pretty... Soulstorm for 40K.
That's the expansion.
That was the
Dawn
very
of War
good one.
1 expansion. Yeah.
Condemned 2.
The Sisters of Battle in it.
Yeah. God, there's some bad games released.
Well, maybe that was it. Maybe we were just bored in a quiet month and decided
to do a podcast. I think we might be bored instead. In a quiet month.
Right.
Oh, Turning Point, Fall of Liberty. That was a rubbish game.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything leaping out at me on that list there. No. I'm looking at Wikipedia at the moment for 2008.
Dark Messiah
of Might
and Magic
game.
On the 360.
Oh, I like that. Not the 360. I hadn't played the 360. I played the PC.
I've put it on that.
It was on Steam re-release thing.
Assassin's Creed on the DS.
Hmm.
Pirates of the Burning Sea had launched in January the 22nd that year.
Uh-huh.
Notably, we didn't talk about it on our first show because we didn't play it.
Yeah, well, I had the 3-month rule thing going, which I've sort of more or less maintained throughout, but... But yeah, I did actually try that later on, and it turned out to be interesting, but again, somewhat niche, a bit, I don't know, interesting features, not revolutionary. I think that's going to be my going to be on my tombstone, I think. But.
Yeah, actually, it was a good game for games, 2008. Mm. So, yes, I'm going to try and play that game.
Right. Okie dokie. I'm not sure. What should I do as my celebrate 2 years of gaming podcasty thing?
Wonder why it's getting so dark in here. I don't know. What do you want to do? What haven't you done?
I don't know. Suppose cheap seats again, I guess. I could blog more. I don't know where I am with that, really. I think I found that this is the downside with the podcast, is that I've got nothing to talk about on my blog anymore because I've said it all here. So the blogging's definitely slacked off as a result.
You need to blog more.
Well,
you just need to get back on the saddle. Get going.
Yeah.
Once you get going and remember how to do it, then it'll be fine.
I'm sure it will.
Okay, should we do the podcast question?
What have we got then?
You said, been at this for nearly 100 shows now. What are your gaming highlights of the last 2 years?
Link the Twitter question to the show, see? Yeah.
And amazingly, Tabletastic was awake.
Oh, right. Deigned to chip in.
It was lunchtime on a Friday and he was awake.
Wow.
He said, there are so many. Meeting some crazy people and making some awesome new friends sums it up, I think.
Ah, so online gaming groups, static groups, etc.
Yeah.
I guess he's talking there.
Yep.
Excellent.
I think it's mainly us, really. Everyone else doesn't matter, it's just us.
Uh-huh.
Jackson 92.
Yep.
How I ended up in my former kinship in Lotro, a tale of being in the right place at the right time and a comedic accident.
Oh, excellent. Hope there's an anecdote there.
Yeah. And he also mentions we questioned what his question was on a podcast question thing.
Oh, he comes back on that later. Yeah. Up. Yeah.
Harry Hulse says playing Locho has been a continued highlight, also finally seeing my 360 and PS3 games on an HD screen.
Ah, someone made the HD leap there.
Yep,
the revolution continues.
Yep,
I'm still quite far behind.
Memoir of Thulu says killing 2.89 million boars to level up 27 characters across 12 different MMOs, two of which were set in outer space. Now I suspect the number of characters there is actually true, because
I think that's an underestimate, to be honest. He has terrible altitis.
I know.
But it's not just like most people, when they're a little bit bored of normal gaming, they'll roll up a level one and see what the cosmetic options are for the rogue class or whatever, have a look at the other starter area, wander off and get bored. Perhaps do a level of the other class. No, he just suddenly turns around and produces, out of thin air, level 61 captain.
Yeah.
And he's probably got several others of a similar high level as well. He needs to focus. Focus, man, focus.
Level less, podcast more, man.
He's got the boars problem as well. He's obsessed with boars.
He's obsessed with boars.
There's not always boars. Sometimes it's wolves and sometimes it's bears.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, go to Killed in a Smiling Accident and read their blogs, him and Zozo.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll explain more about boars there.
Yeah. Gothwalk says, most of my highlights have been in tabletop RPGs. Much as I love MMOs, their background in comparison.
Ah, right. So a good sense of perspective there, anyway.
Fair enough. and Jackson comes back and says that the thing that we wanted to know about him from a couple of shows ago was, what question did he get the talking golem for in the what did you win question? Yeah. And he came up with a question to stump the Lotro experts with, how many ways did the three trolls debate about out on how to kill the Hobbit and dwarves in The Hobbit?
Oh, God, I'm stumped too.
You don't know.
I've handed my Tolkien card.
Okay, if you don't know, right.
No.
Fine, we'll
do you know?
I asked the question.
Okay, fair enough. Where's that copy of Lord of the Hobbit? Keep talking. I think I'll find it.
I can find a copy of The Hobbits by my bed. Right, Copperbird says, I think Dragon Age was my gaming highlight of the last 2 years.
Really?
That I'm playing PvP scenarios in War at release.
Oh, the Warhammer scenarios are a fantastic breath of fresh air for the first couple of hundred goes. But
yeah.
I was popped in there yesterday, actually. Just killing 5 minutes, dropped in on the tier one M's rank stuff, just ran around a bit, killed some people. It's good fun. Can't do it an awful lot. But Dragon Age is the highlight of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's comparatively recent.
Dr. Tayrag says, the best part of the last 2 years has been the collection of static groups in different games. I love the friendship.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
So it's all about the people, not the games, as it turns out. Took me at least 2 years to work that out.
Debart says, the announcement of this, Civilization 5, I will pretty much vanish from the face of the planet.
The highlight of the last 2 years is an announcement for a thing that's not even out yet. He's looking forward to that hard.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's so good.
I don't know. Yeah, I imagine it will be of a very high standard. I have to wait and see.
Unwise says, probably Uncharted 2. A good story, well told, in exotic locations with big explosions.
Can't go wrong with that.
Nope. No,
you rate that very highly, don't you?
I haven't completed it yet.
You haven't completed Uncharted 2?
No, I got distracted.
You're like its biggest fanboy in the world.
It's
ever.
Brilliant, but yeah, I've been to...
Fair enough.
It may
have a really sucky end boss that destroys the game for you. You don't know.
Well, unfortunately, now I have to report on the show all the games I've completed. I can't complete it without letting everyone know I haven't completed it.
Oh, that's a problem. You don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to do that.
Fair enough.
Getting loads of us playing Burnout Paradise was great fun, if slightly hectic. Also static grouping. We should do that again.
I think I missed out on all that, because I came late to the party. I mean, you and him there both indulged me by popping in once while I was on there, and we did some three-car jumpy stuff. But I'm just trying to imagine what eight people charging around and jumping around must be like in there. I would like to do that, yes.
Okay.
Let's arrange something.
Andy, let's arrange something.
Okay. Fair enough. How this works.
I've been playing on the PS3 for the last couple of days, so it's still brilliant.
Haven't touched it in a long time. Something else came along and I got swept away with that, and I haven't been back to it yet, but it was very good.
Dr. Toe Rag comes back with a bit more.
Mm.
The static groups have been hugely helped by TeamSpeak Mumble. I miss it when it's not there.
Yeah, I think he was in the, oh, I don't know about this voice camp, as with myself to begin with. I don't know what spurred us on to try just giving it a go on Guild Wars nights. I think possibly just my somewhat newfound speaking self-confidence off of this, to be honest.
The Mog Dog is also currently crying because he's kind of the opposite of a highlight, but the closing down event of Tabula Rasa is my most memorable.
Oh, dear. I think we've probably opened a number of fresh wounds with this show, yes.
We've basically cut new wounds next to the old wounds and poured salt in them.
Yes. It was a real shame. I mean, the closing down event was brilliant because they just suddenly pulled out of nowhere all this stuff they'd been working on for the last, like, 8 months or something. There was the PAU showed up. There was a whole new set of zones on Earth, which was always the big carrot. We were always on our way back to Earth in the big long story thing. And suddenly there's this Madison Square Gardens level covered in alien red weed with stalkers wandering around it all. It was like a raid instance or something. I stuck my head in and got blown up straight away. But it was just, you know, amazing the amount of hard work, I suppose, that got thrown away all of a sudden.
Yeah. Talk89 says, finding that first bit of the world that no one else has managed to stumble upon. Explorers for the win.
Ah, the explorer archetype. I'm going to have to re-battle test myself, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think I've strayed away from the explorer path into the socializer section of the chart these days.
Get back to explorer.
I know.
You lost your way.
I started talking to people and then started liking talking to people. And that's how it starts, you know. I was at a party and people were talking to each other. And I thought, I'll try it. I'll just talk to someone. Next thing you know, I'm an SEAK instead of an ESAK or whatever. It's just...
Yeah.
Where did it all go so badly wrong?
Nozzlehead says, after playing MMOs for 10 years, I finally got a character to level cap last year.
Hooray! Can't see me, but I've got my hands above my head in a heroic cheering gesture.
Yeah. Sunk Zero, or Sunk A-Zero, never worked out which is which. The slow and gradual acceptance that games aren't just for kids.
Yeah. I think I'd always assumed they were for kids and that I'd just never grown up and there was something wrong with me, but perhaps games have grown up and I've grown up with them.
Yeah. Telk, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Team Fortress 2 Nationals. Team came first in Championship
Nationals.
League. Placed us number 4 clan in New Zealand.
Blimey.
Wow.
Gaming renown. Outstanding.
I assume that's New Zealand and not some state I don't know about in America.
I don't think they're AZ.
Yeah, I don't think there's an NZ. No. If they are, it's very well hidden. So I assume that's New Zealand. Also says, single player, arguably the golf club scene in Bioshock.
Oh, that was fantastic, yeah.
Entirety of Portal.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Arkham Asylum.
Not played, but going to.
And COD 4. Also, Half-Life 2 mod, Dear Esther.
Right. I'd not heard of the Half-Life mod, but...
No, I don't know.
No, yeah, the golf club scene, fantastic. Yeah. So when it all suddenly comes together and you realise what's been going on all the way through.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Very good.
Pete Walker 74 says, my 2-year-old daughter's fascination with riding around on horseback in Lotro.
Excellent.
And now if I can just teach her to stay on the road.
Yeah, there's some bad stuff off the roads if you get it wrong. 2 years old and playing Lotro, that's what we like. Excellent.
Pexer Psycho sucks up with discovering the Van Hemlock podcast. Also, Champions Online, a game that fits my way of playing for fun, freedom of choice for the win.
Absolutely. It takes some finding. These the game that suits you best, and sometimes you'll never find it because they change themselves and we change too. So you always need to keep looking, but it's always good when you can find somewhere you feel like you can belong, you know.
Yeah. Eric Show says, can't really recall a single highlight, but the two games that I have kept on playing during the 2 years are Even WoW.
Right, yeah. Everyone have something they keep coming back to. That will be that game that they like the best. I mean, I suppose no one should be playing any game for, you know, continuously for 10 years. That'd be a bit mad, but it's good to have something to come back to.
Early Flash says, the first Scarecrow level in Batman Arkham Asylum. That and my first PvP fight in EVE. I had adrenaline shakes for hours.
Oh, yeah. PvP in EVE. I mean, if you can find terms upon which you're happy to engage, it is amazing. But, yeah, it can be quite unwanted at times as well. There is no switch.
can't read that. What's is that Jeff or Jet?
Jeff Ross?
Is it Jeff Ross? Right. Yeah. I can't tell if it's an F or a T using this font. discovering the online gaming media such as podcasts like this one, websites like Massively, etc.
Yeah. Sort of, I think they work well because they connect you, they build communities, they remind you you're not alone in your gaming. But I mean, perhaps the MMO side of things would indicate that to begin with as well. But just having that little bit of extra reading, that other place to go with your comments and finding people who are similar sort of outlooks, isn't it? It's all good. Mm.
Hitchy says, the onslaught of co-op games starting a couple of years ago, tearing through games like Left 4 Dead with friends is the highlight.
Mm.
I'd agree that co-op gaming is the best way to play games.
Yeah, is that a fairly recent thing?
Yeah, pretty
traditionally
much.
It's always been just deathmatch and here's your single player story campaign, yeah, isn't it?
But now we have a lot more co-op. Gears did it, yeah. And Left 4 Dead is a totally different game if you play it co-op than single player experience wise.
Yeah, I think more co-op would be good. I mean, yes, I mean, testing your skill against your friends is good, but you know, they don't always want to be shooting each other in the face if you want to play together at all.
Yeah.
You know.
Inteen says, probably becoming CEO of an Eve Corp.
Ah.
Then I retired and a spy stole everything. I need a new hobby.
A tale of the highs and lows of Eve Online.
Everyone in Eve, just accept the spies are going to steal everything.
Somebody will clear your corp hanger eventually. Yeah, it might as well be you.
And finally, Enlightened One says, discovering the Van Hemlock podcast, of course. Suck up. That's enjoying Astrakhan.
Burn. More Eve there.
Yeah.
It's gotten involved in the big old role play Amar conflict there, I guess.
Self, don't go to Providence.
Providence has always been hectic, yeah.
Excellent. So, that's it with that.
Excellent. What's yours?
Mine. Oh, I'd have to say probably meeting all the lovely listeners.
Yeah, so I think that'd probably be mine as well. Our big away days that we have now and then, meeting up in London or chilly fiestas for some reason. Yeah, we're going to have to do another one of those again soon. I haven't got any details at the moment, but I'm penciling something for the bank holiday weekend beginning of May.
What, the one we've just booked to go see Iron Man in
That's
London?
The one. That's probably it then. That'll probably become Van Hemlock Con 2010.
Yeah,
that
might be a little difficult to organise, but yeah. I'm going to be at Silverstone for the British Grand Prix if anyone wants to meet up then. He's not, because he doesn't like
interesting
things.
I don't like cars.
Things. But I'm going to be there, so if anyone wants to meet up.
Right. Well, we'll thresh out a few more details in the forum on that score.
That's not a meet up, though. I'm just going to be there. I think I'm going to get bored at some time.
And what have you learned this week?
I've learnt that after 2 years and nearly 100 shows, I can really think about what I'm going to say before the start.
Come
of the
on,
show.
We do this every week. You must have something.
I've learnt that killing bad guys in games is a lot more fun when you confuse their logo with the Texaco logo.
And I've learnt the incredibly high prices it's possible to pay for a suit for my sister's wedding. Not you, talking about it.
You paid more than the cost of the wedding in a sense.
I haven't spent more than she spent on her wedding dress, let's put it that way.
You probably have.
Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.